This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me is Darius Thomas.
You ready to rock? If given the opportunity to perform on the big stage as a creative, would you be ready? When Madison Morris, visual storyteller and photographer, got her chance, she was more than ready. Having already captured some of the best moments of Texas athletics while in school, she took a leap of faith on social media, and it worked in her favor. Madison gives great insights about having prime access and a front row seat to greatness.
Just tell me the time.
All right, cool. We'll go 30. Awesome.
Good luck to the editor on that one.
Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start?
Let's go!
Welcome to Baller Effects, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini-course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step-by-step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sport-specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Creative Sports Podcast. We have a great guest for you today. We have visual storyteller Madison Morris. Maddie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So I've known you for quite a bit of time. I've followed your work for a few years while you were at UT as a student and after. But tell the people who haven't been following you and are familiar a little bit about yourself and your journey to get to where you are today.
Yeah, so I'm primarily a freelance photographer. I'm based in Houston. That's where I was born and raised. I started doing photography back in junior high, actually. I was there was like a technology club at my school, and they had these photography competitions. That was like one of the contests we could do. So I took interest in that, basically begged my parents for a DSLR, and then I started my photography journey. I was just taking pictures of everything. My sophomore year of high school, I got involved with sports photography. I took my camera to a basketball tournament, and I was just sitting in the front row, like kind of behind baseline, didn't have an idea about like what settings to use, but that was like the first sporting event I ever shot, and I posted some photos on Instagram, and they did pretty good, so that's kind of where I found my passion for it. So I found it pretty early, and since then, I went to UT, I studied public relations and journalism. And I was really involved with Texas Athletics as a creative intern. I got to freelance a little bit. I worked with College Football Playoff. I covered the ATX Open. I did some production work with the Men's Final Four in 2023. So I've done a lot. I'm really grateful for my experiences. And since graduating, I've just been kind of freelancing around Texas. So I got to work with the Dallas Wings last season. And then I got to return this season as a freelancer. I got involved with NWSL covering women's soccer, and then the new professional volleyball league, League One. I got to do some work for their Houston team as well. So I've just been kind of freelancing.
Awesome. So when along that journey of getting the camera and kind of, you know, covering some high school stuff, when did you know that for sure this is what you wanted to kind of pursue as a career?
Yeah, I definitely knew early on. I remember when I was trying to figure out like what college I was going to attend. I was going back and forth between studying communications and something like criminal justice because I was also kind of interested in that. Ultimately, I decided communications because I figured if anything, I could still kind of pivot. Like if I wanted to kind of switch back, like I felt like communications was a very versatile degree. So I ultimately went with that. And that was because when I was in high school, I had kind of found out about social platforms like Bleacher Report and like just kind of learning more about the people who run social for some of my favorite sports teams. So I got to connect with them and learn more about kind of their experience and what led them there. And so that's kind of when I realized that sports media was a potential career path for me. And so I started looking at it more seriously when I was like applying to colleges and stuff.
I know you talked about being eighth grade and, you know, kind of getting into, but what really, what or who piqued your interest to like do sports versus any other type of photography?
Yeah. So I would say probably two people immediately come to mind. So at the time, I remember I would follow Slam magazine a lot, like on social media, but I'm still an avid subscriber to their magazine. So I get them on, like, I think they send them like every 2 months. But there was this one photographer who I guess freelanced for them like a while ago. I don't think he does anymore, but his name is Joseph Sherman. And so they would post his work and like they would tag him. So that's how I figured out who he was. And I started following him and I just really loved his photography style. And he ended up going on to be team photographer for the LA Lakers. And so he did that for, I think, a couple of seasons. I know he's not there anymore. He's not as active on social media, but I've loved his work for the longest time. So I'm a huge fan of his work. And then I would also say Emily Johnson, who actually went to UT. So really cool. I actually found out about her when I was in high school because she used to do some work for Texas football. And it was kind of weird. I think I was like following her and then I ended up like, I think I deactivated my Instagram or something and I like lost her page. I couldn't remember her username for the longest. And then I like found her again. And we actually got to reconnect when I was in college because we did one of my assignments for class was like basically interview somebody who is like doing something that you want to do one day. So I reached out to her and just kind of told her like how inspired I was by her. And so we got to talk and I got to learn more about her journey. And she's still an inspiration to me.
Shout out to both of them, but more specifically, M. Like when I first got to UT a while ago now, she was a student, and to see her growth from a student, from a basketball manager to, you know, doing content and graduating, working for UT football and Players Tribune. I mean, she's done everything. So shout out to M. She's actually been on the pod before. So, great, great talent right there. So yeah. if you're following some of her work, you're definitely on the right path.
You talked a little bit about some of the different leagues and clients that you've had and worked with. I guess, what is your approach when you're going to a game? How do you prepare?
So I guess it kind of depends on like what sport I'm covering. Sometimes I'll get like a shot list ahead of time. So that's really helpful. So I know what to look out for. So if I do get a shot list, I usually will like study that the night before, just so I kind of have an idea of it. Sometimes I also like make it my wallpaper so I can see it all the time. And so that kind of helps me stay on track. Otherwise I will forget to grab stuff. But yeah, I'm really big on checking for shot lists, but also not sticking to those. I love to be creative. So usually once I get everything that I have to get, then I try to like get like more creative stuff or, you know, just try out new techniques when I'm shooting. I try to like charge everything, prepare my camera bag like the night before, just so I'm ready. If I need to like rent a lens or anything, then I try to take care of that the day before as well. I always try to get to like the venue early, just so I have time to like put my stuff down and kind of like just get in that mindset. But yeah, I guess the main thing for me is just kind of like looking over the shot list, making sure my camera bag is ready. I don't think I really have like a specific like pregame ritual that I do, but that's just kind of what I do to prepare.
You mentioned charging your batteries. I'm wondering if there's more of a story behind something like that. Like, is there what's the most catastrophic thing that's happened to you when you've gone on a shoot?
I will say a couple months ago, I did a media day for like a bunch of little kids. It was for like this sporting goods company. So they were like advertising like a new product that they were launching. So basically they invited a bunch of like young baseball players to like come try out this baseball bat and like take some photos with it. So I was like basically doing like a media day station for a bunch of kids. And I just purchased my first full frame camera, which is a Canon 1DX Mark II. Absolutely love it. But what I didn't realize when I bought it was that the batteries like hadn't been calibrated in a long time. And so the battery, I guess, performance, like it was not all the way. So I was basically running through the battery like really quick. And so at one point in the shoot, I had like a long line of kids and their parents behind me, and the battery like died on me. And I did have an extra battery, but it like basically I didn't have an outlet directly by me. So I had to like have somebody like go run and get the other battery and like switch it out for me. But it was just kind of stressful in the moment because my camera had like basically died on me, and I had like a bunch of kids like waiting, and they're like really excited to try out this new product. And so it was a little bit stressful in the moment, but I think I handled it pretty okay.
Charge your batteries. That is lesson 101. Sure. So you really got a chance while you were at UT to get a lot of experience, right? Yeah. So I think we missed each other maybe by a year or two, like working on campus. But in that program, you're covering all the sports, right? You're probably covering tennis. You're probably covering volleyball and golf and all the things, wherever they need a photographer. And I think when you came, by the time you got there as a student, there were no staff photographers. Talk about that experience of being able to, you know, get some of that hands-on early experience and really sharpen your tools as a college student.
Yeah. So I started out when I got to UT, I actually started in the student newspaper. So I worked for the Daily Texan for a little bit. I did social media, then I switched to the photo department. And that was mainly because I couldn't figure out like how to get involved with Texas athletics directly. Eventually I was able to talk to some people, and then I got on my junior year. And when I did, I was still covering all the things at the Daily Texan, but I guess getting, you know, a different sort of level of access covering it as a creative intern working directly for the athletic department, it was really nice getting to cover things like media days and like all the recruit visits. So I did a lot of those when potential student athletes would come in. And so that helped me grow with like studio lighting and like get more familiar with that, which I really appreciated. And then getting to cover like a wide variety of sports. I worked primarily with women's basketball just because I love basketball so much. I used to play, so I've just kind of carried on my love for it. But I got to cover everything while I was there, and I'm really grateful that I got to try out different sports and like just kind of get better in the sports that I wasn't as familiar with. So,
how much did working with the Daily Texan prepare you for athletics? Part one of that question. And do you think if you had gone day one when you stepped on campus to work at athletics, do you think having that experience was better for you when you got there?
I would say working for the student newspaper prepared me well, but it also taught me like, I guess, the difference between like journalistic reporting versus like working for an athletics team where like it is more okay to like stage poses and things like that. So that was kind of a learning curve for me. But I think it prepared me, like, especially working or starting out in the social media department, it kind of helped me learn like how to write copy and like just figuring out the style for like the Daily Texans, like social, like, I guess like their kind of social identity. And then also kind of learning how like the Texas Longhorns social media accounts, how they like write things differently compared to like, you know, more like a journalism outlet. But yeah, I think my first time like taking like fan photos and learning from another photographer there, that like he told me like, you know, you can pose people and like have them do like certain poses and stuff during the game, because like they'll sometimes use our pictures for like advertisements and things like that. So that was just kind of different, because like normally in like a journalism setting you wouldn't like stage any poses. So that was something that it kind of took me a while to like get comfortable doing, because I kind of felt like I also studied journalism, so I guess I was just trying to like err on the side of caution. But yeah, it's different working for an athletics department. I do think I am grateful for my experience starting out in the student newspaper. There actually were a lot of students who had like a similar path, or like they started in at the Daily Texan and then found their way to Texas athletics. So there's like a pipeline there. And I am grateful for my experience. I don't think I feel like it's better that I started out with the Daily Texan, because I was able to not only be involved with that, but I also got involved with a lot of other student organizations. And I kind of feel like if I started out directly with Texas Athletics, that I probably would have just stayed doing that and wouldn't have tried to like venture out doing other things. So I'm kind of grateful that I got to like see what I wanted to try out on campus and get involved in first before I got super involved with working with athletics.
When you say you were posing people, is that like staged, like portrait style? Or are you talking about like in-game action, like getting to the right position to try and capture what you're looking to capture?
Yeah, not in-game action, but more so like if there are like fans in the stands wearing like UT merch, or like if they're doing doing hook 'em in the stands, stuff like that. Like we could basically, we were allowed to like go back and ask like, oh, like, would you mind doing that pose again for us? Things like that. Gotcha. Whereas like if I'm covering it as a journalist, like I probably wouldn't go back and ask them to like redo the pose if I missed it.
It's like live action, so that was live just action. You're capturing what's already there. Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, yeah, cool. For sure.
Nice. What's, I guess from covering all the different sports that you've covered, what do you, is there like a common thread of how you capture them or how you would approach the capture? Because the sports have so many different needs, so to speak. I'm just thinking like angles wise on, you know, capturing football, you want to be at a certain spot. For soccer, you know, the game just flows in hockey and all that. I know you don't have hockey in Texas, but I'm just trying to think through like different ways that you would approach a game based on what sport you're covering.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say for most games, I do tend to use, like, I love my 24 to 70 and my 70 to 200. So those stay on me. But for things like soccer and football, like that's where you definitely need like more range. So for these soccer games I've been doing, I've been using a 300 prime and it's amazing. It's also been interesting, like learning how to use just prime lenses. So I've been trying to be better about that. And challenge myself in those ways. But I think for each game, it definitely varies like per sport. I'm definitely more comfortable with like basketball because it isn't as, you know, the court is smaller compared to like a football field. So it's nice that you don't have to move around as much. But I do try to like get different angles when I'm photographing indoor sports. I love going up in the stands and getting stuff like kind of showing like in between like fans' heads and stuff, just kind of showing like the amount of people that are there watching. So I love getting shots like that. I love trying new angles and like different techniques. I love slow shutters, so that's something I use a lot. But yeah, it's different. It definitely is different for each sport. There are still some others that I'm not as familiar with, or like I still kind of feel like I struggle with. So like I guess like baseball, softball, those sports for me, like I didn't really cover those a lot in like high school when I was starting out, and so I got to do a little bit more of that when I was at UT, but those are still some sports that I would say like I'm still learning for sure. But yeah,
so a lot of times when students come in, like they're wanting to go straight to the big sports, football, men's basketball, if you're baseball, whoever's the top dog, right? And they want to shoot the game action because you're trying to put together a portfolio and you're trying to, you know, prepare to do this. But you actually took on, you know, you talk about shooting fan shots and other, you know, merch and all of that. Talk about the importance of doing, you know, what some may consider the small things that can eventually open those doors for, you know, bigger opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one thing I'm really big about capturing, is like making sure you're getting not just what's happening on the court, but also like the fans in the stands, or even like before the game starts when they're tailgating in the parking lot, capturing those smaller moments. So I love looking for those, or even like quieter moments, I guess, on the field or on the court where it's like off ball action that's happening. I love looking for that. And it definitely is important to have those in your portfolio as well, like to have that that shot variety. And it definitely can lead to like getting those opportunities to photograph like game action. Like there were times where I would work games for UT and it would be like a bigger event, so they would need like more photographers. And I was just grateful to even be considered like to work those games, especially as a student intern. And so like sometimes I would be tasked with like only getting like fan shots or like kind of roaming around the concourse, so I'm not on baseline, which I don't mind that at all. Like some people might, you know, take that as like an attack on their ego and say like, oh, I need to be on the baselines or on the sidelines. But like, I don't mind roaming. I don't mind getting different angles or like not being as close to the action. Like if anything, since I started out not having that access, it kind of taught me to just make do with what I have. So I don't mind it. And I do think that attitude has allowed me to like get to those other opportunities, because they see in my portfolio that I cover everything. Like I try to cover all aspects of the game, not just like the main action. So I definitely think it's helped me by like having all of that variety in my portfolio.
Having worked, you know, you talk about NWSL, WNBA, college at UT, college football. What's been probably your most favorite moment or proudest moment as a photographer?
I would say two. The first one would be when I got invited to be a part of the social team for the college football playoff national championship for 2023. So that was in Los Angeles. So I flew out there and got to meet, like work with some incredible people, some student creators from all across the country. And so one of the days, me and a few other people on the team, one of our assignments was to like basically go to SoFi Stadium and like kind of just get some scenic shots. And the sun was setting, so it was like really nice. And so we spent some time like outside getting like some nice like golden hour photos of like kind of the stadium branding and things like that, or like the college football playoff branding. And then we were able to go inside and just kind of take in like the vastness of that stadium. But also they were testing the Jumbotron at the time. And so they were displaying some of my photos that I had taken from, I think, like the day or two before, where like the players had just arrived in LA. So it was really cool, like seeing my work on a big screen for the first time. Like there wasn't really a lot of people in the stadium, but that was the first time that I'd ever seen my work displayed on a screen that large. So it was a proud moment for me. So that was a really cool experience that I'll never forget. And then another instance happened my senior year of college. One of my photos was selected for like a, there was a student documentary photography contest in my college. And one of my photos was a finalist for it. And so they displayed it in like the, on like one of the journalism floors for our college. And so they had like all of the pictures framed and like printed really big. So it was really cool, like seeing my work also like on display for a few months at my college. So those are two of my most proudest moments for sure.
That's awesome. So kind of shifting a little bit, we usually talk about, you know, social media and, you know, where people can follow you and all that later. But you have a unique social handle, right? It's 35 Maddie. Talk about where you came up with that, and is that in relation to like a 35 millimeter?
Yes, it is actually. So people compliment my username all the time, and I'm so glad that I came up with it early, because I actually found out there's like a 35 millimeter Madison now. So I'm glad I got my username when I did. But I came up with it sometime in high school when I was like still starting out. My first username was like Shot by Maddie, which a lot of people have like Shot by so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And so I think I just wanted to try something different. At the time I was interested in trying out like 35 millimeter film. And so I was like, oh, this would be cool, because it's kind of a play on like film, but also I wasn't really shooting film at the time, so it was weird. But I switched to that also because Kevin Durant is one of my favorite players, and like I think he was wearing 35 at the time, so kind of a nod to him, I guess. But also the two M's, it's like those are my initials too, so I also like that little touch on it. So yeah, I'm glad I came up with it so early. But it's funny because at the time I wasn't even shooting 35 millimeter film. I didn't really get into that until a couple years ago, because honestly, it's really expensive. And so as a high school student, I was like, I love the look of film, but I don't have the money for film right now. So I'm just kind of glad that I snatched up early, but I also kind of felt like a poser because I was posting digital photos and I have like a film related username. But I love all things film. I love, especially love instant photography. So I have a lot of instant cameras, and I don't know, I'm very old school. So I have a lot of, I'm really big on collecting like physical media and like older cameras. I love things that print out. So I love instant photography. So I think that's also a big part of my style and kind of relates to the username as well.
And that's a great segue into gear. Let's talk gear. What's your go-to camera brand? I know you talked about some instant cameras, but when you're shooting, you know, sports photography, which kind of your, what's your brand and how did you select that one?
Yeah. I started out with Canon. I started out with the Rebel T5. Like many others, I started with the Rebel series, and I still have my camera. I don't really use it as much, but that camera has gotten me through a lot, lots of sporting events. So, and then I upgraded to a Canon 90D when I got to college, and I still use that camera. But I mentioned that earlier this year, I upgraded to my first full frame body. So I have a Canon 1DX Mark II. I found a really good deal on it, and I could not pass it up. And it was funny, I was actually thinking about going mirrorless at the time, but I saw this deal and I was like, I can't just let this go by. So I had to get it. So maybe one day I'll go mirrorless, but for now I love the gear that I have. And then as far as lenses, I have a 24-70 2.8, a 70-200 2.8, and then like the nifty 50 that like everybody has. So those are like my main pieces of gear. As far as instant photography, I have a couple of cameras. The main one I've been using is a Instax Mini 99. I also have the Instax Mini 90, which is like an older version of that camera. And then I have an Instax Mini 11, which is the first one I got actually. And then I loved it so much, I started getting a couple more with like more settings and stuff on them. So those are my main instant cameras, but I also have a couple of Polaroids that I don't really use as much anymore. They're just bigger and like the film is more expensive, so I don't really use those as much as the instant Fujifilm Instax brand. But yeah, that's my main gear. And then last year, I think early last year, I thrifted a Minolta X700. Wasn't even sure if it worked, but I took it to New York with me last summer, and that's when I shot my first roll of film, and I found out that it did work. So that was a nice surprise because I got a really good deal on it. But that's my main gear.
Gonna take another shift. And you and your social, you could be considered an activist, right? In some, you speak up on a lot of topics, especially on when it comes to like equal coverage. You know, covering of the, you know, leagues that you're fans of, but also do some work in. Where did that start, and how did you continue that wave of not necessarily like full-fledged activism, but speaking up for, you know, people who may not be able to speak up for themselves or may not even see some of the comments and commentary that may happen on social?
Yeah, I think for me, I guess it technically started before this because I remember in like middle school when like the Black Lives Matter movement was like first launched, like I remember all of that happening. So that kind of, I guess, is where it started. But I think more specifically when I got into when I realized that I wanted to do sports media, and I would look at the people working in sports media, like sports social at the time, because that's what I wanted to do, and I wouldn't see a lot of diversity there. So, and that was like when I was in high school, just seeing like the lack of diversity in the content teams, and it was just a stark contrast to the amount of diversity like on the field or on the court. Like, I'm not saying it has to be like directly correlated, but it was just kind of weird, I guess, seeing you know, you have all these black and brown players like on the court or the field, and like they're putting their bodies on the line essentially, you know, for these games, and they're training hard. And then you have a lot of people who don't look like them who are covering them. And that's led to, I feel like it's led to like, I guess a kind of a disconnect, like maybe like a cultural disconnect where like I think about like I'm a part of a Divine Nine organization, and like I know there are a few pro athletes who are in the Divine Nine, and so sometimes like I think about people in like Omega Psi Phi who like maybe they'll be like strolling or like hopping, and I've seen a couple of occasions of that where like maybe they're like strolling during practice or something, and then you have like media members who aren't familiar with the Divine Nine, and they think like, oh, they're just doing like a fun dance, or like maybe people will start mimicking the dance, and it's like it has more meaning than that. So that's like that's one example I can think of off the top of my head. But also I think just as far as like the way that these social teams kind of speak, like kind of their style and their social media copy, and like how maybe they'll use AAVE, and then you look at the social team and it's like they're not really using it properly, or like they don't know how to use it properly because they're not used to speaking like that. So I think for me, like just realizing early on that I wanted to work in the space and not seeing a lot of diversity in the space. And I do think there has been some improvement over the years, like since I, like between now and like me realizing that I wanted to work in the sports industry, but there's still so much work that needs to be done. I'm still seeing, like yesterday I saw a post that really disappointed me where somebody was talking about their experiences with racism working in sports photography. So it's something that still happens. I've experienced microaggressions myself working, and I think that comes with me being a woman in sports for one, because like, you know, misogynist or people who think like we don't belong here because it's like still, they consider it to be like a boys club. But also me being a Black woman takes it even further. And then me being a Black queer woman, I think takes it even further than that. So I think just my own identity has made me want to use my platform and speak up, because I do want to see change in this industry, and I have, but it's not enough. if anything, I want to leave it better than I found it. And I'm always trying to put other people on, because I do want to see more people who look like me in this space. Like far too often I go to cover an event and I'm like one of the few Black photographers there, and maybe even like the only Black woman there. So I want to see more people who look like me, more minorities in these spaces, because we're more than capable and more than deserving to have those opportunities as well. Trying to think of what else, but that's like the main thing. I've always wanted to use my platform and speak up when I can. I just feel like it would be a disservice to not use my voice. So I always try to speak up on things like that when I can, because I don't think it's okay.
Along those lines, like coming up in these spaces that you find yourself in, you know, whether that's at UT, whether that's, you know, at a national championship, and you may not see those faces or voices in those spaces, where do you kind of find your tribe of people to kind of lean on and lean into, like outside of, you know, the doors that you find yourself walking into? Like, are there mentors that you have? Are there, you know, other photographers that you follow that you kind of are able to tap into? Like, where do you kind of find those voices if it's not right in front of you?
Yeah, definitely. If it's not right in front of me, then social media has been great to connect with other photographers and other creatives. So, yeah, I love social media for that reason, like getting to get to know people who I otherwise wouldn't have because we're not in the same area. So it's also nice when I get to like connect with somebody that I've been following on social media for a long time, and we finally get to connect in person at an event. So I love social media for those reasons. It's also just a great way to like amplify something. So like I mentioned yesterday, I saw a post about someone who had experienced racism at their past role, like in the sports photography space. So social media was like a great way to like amplify those issues and like draw more attention to it, and also connect with people who also want to see a change in the sports industry. So it's been a great way for me to find more people in the sports creative community who have like kind of similar like goals as me or like similar values as me. So it's been really great to connect with others.
Outside of sports, when you're not shooting sports, how do you kind of how do you get away from the work? Like, what do you do in like your free time? What are your interests outside of, you know, shooting games or events?
Yeah, I love music. Actually, I didn't mention this earlier, but I was a band kid, so music has always been instilled in me.
What instrument?
So I played clarinet and then bass clarinet. Yeah.
My sister played clarinet for a long time.
Oh, cool. But yeah, I love going to concerts, so that helps me a lot. And then I also collect vinyl records, so I love spinning those. I love to read and journal. That helps me clear my mind. I'll go on photo walks sometimes, like just kind of with no agenda in mind. I'll just like bring a camera and just take pictures of the things that I see around me. What else do I do? See concerts. I love to travel. So one thing I've started or I've been doing it for a while is like each new state that I visit, I like to collect like a lapel pin or just like some sort of souvenir from each new place that I visit. So that's always fun. I think those are the main things, like traveling, music, like vinyl collecting, collecting in general. I love to collect things, especially like older, like sports memorabilia. I love like bobbleheads or like just old things like that. So yeah, I'm just really big on collecting and music. Really big fan of physical media. So
when you're shooting or editing, do you have like a playlist or do you turn on music or anything that gets you in like the vibe of what you're doing?
I don't really have a set playlist that I mean, if anything, I do have I have like a playlist that I call Rotation. So it's basically I'm constantly swapping out songs in it. So sometimes I'll just put that on. Sometimes if I just feel like listening to an album in full, then I'll do that. But I don't really have like a specific song or album that I go to each time. It just really depends, I guess, on the vibe. But or sometimes I'll even play like that lo-fi stuff on YouTube, like the study music. That helps me a lot as well to like kind of stay locked in. So I'll do that too.
What's your go-to vinyl?
One that I play a lot is probably Chasing Summer by Sir. That's one of my favorites in my collection. I love R&B, so I'm playing a lot of that all the time. But I really love Sir's music. Huge fan of Kehlani, so I play their music a lot as well. But I'm a huge R&B fan, so I have a lot of that in my collection.
Love it. All right, so speaking of, we're going to play a little game. We're going to give you 30 seconds. You know, we've talked gear, we've talked game day, we've talked music. But we're going to give you 30 seconds to name, if you are covering a game, what is in your tool bag for that game day? It can be a host of things. It can be the actual bag. It can be music. It can be, I'm not going to give you all the answers, but I am going to find my phone so that I can get stopwatch. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
And go.
Okay, Canon 1DX Mark II, Canon 90D, batteries, extra batteries, chargers, AirPods, oh my gosh, SD card case, CF card case, instant camera, plus extra film, a snack. I love like peanut butter crackers or things like that.
Gotta
have hand sanitizer. Oh man, I'm blanking.
And that's time.
Okay.
That's good. You mentioned the card cases, but not the cards.
Oh my god.
Gotta have the cards in the case.
Yeah.
So with everything that you do, thank you for being a part of the community. But like, what do you aspire to be? Like, let's take the next 5 years, like what do you want to see in those next 5 years, whether that's in your career or in this field in general?
Oh my gosh, I would love to see more equal coverage, especially when it comes to women's sports. So that's something I'm really looking forward to seeing. And it has grown. It's nice that there have been more eyes on it, but there's still, I think, some issues with the media coverage. So that's something that I'm like, I don't want to be a part of the bad coverage. I always strive to humanize athletes. So I think just kind of better coverage of athletes in general and the humanization of them. More diversity in content teams, for sure. And I feel like that should go beyond just gender. So that's something I'm really big on as well. I think more, I think what else? As far as like where I see myself, I don't know. I try not to think of it as like a specific like title or role that I'm striving for. I know I want to stay in the space for a long time, telling the stories of athletes beyond just what they're doing on the court or on the field. I love seeing when athletes interact with like their community, for example, and giving back. Like I love capturing those moments as well. And just kind of seeing when athletes use their own platforms to inspire change and inspire the next generation. So I love capturing those moments too. I guess if anything, I don't know. I try not to think of it as like a certain title I want to get to. I just know I want to stay in the space for a long time and like work with athletes and tell their stories in a good way. And just take good pictures and just, you know, make people feel things with my work and if anything, let it speak for itself. So that's what I always strive to do.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of which, it's like, you know, we talk about the change in sports coverage and social media and all that over the years. One thing that I feel like has changed is the way that we cover the events. So if you think of like the old guard, the people that, you know, have been covering sports 20, 30, you know, sometimes a little younger, like myself. We got taught a habit of, you know, capturing a specific thing. But now, you know, even in the W, like covering pregame is almost as important as covering the game with like the tunnel walk with the fits and all that kind of stuff. Talk about how that storytelling could actually expand and how we get there. Because I feel like the storytelling is becoming like journalism. Like we use the word storytelling now, but it's really still journalism, right? But it's in a different aspect. Talk about how that can continue to evolve and how you've seen that change.
Yeah, I have noticed how like the tunnel walk has become like a big part of like capturing the game. Especially like I got to capture some tunnel walks for like League One volleyball and then for the WNBA last season, and so I love seeing how athletes are like expressive with their outfits and like just kind of seeing like how they dress when they're not, you know, in a uniform. So I think it's an opportunity for athletes to kind of show off their personal style. It's also like just in thinking about like advertising and branding, like it's also a great way for them to like show off like sponsorship deals. So that's something like just with my like PR brand, I'm always thinking about that as well, like how it's an opportunity for athletes to like show off a sponsorship that they have, or maybe even get more brand deals from it. But I think also just showing like their personal style and how they dress, like when they're not having to play like in a certain uniform or anything like that. So I love that it's become like a part of the coverage. Cause like, I mean, NBA players do that too. Like I feel like people make it seem like it's only the female athletes who like to show off their outfits, but like, NBA players are into fashion too, or like, you know, male athletes are into it as well. Like we've seen plenty of male athletes that like I know they'll go for, I can't remember that name of that big fashion event that they'll. Yeah. Or like, I think there's another one.
Or Fashion Week in like Paris. Yeah. I know Russell Westbrook has been over there and Shea Gilgeous.
I know Jalen went to France. That was a big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just thinking about that and like when you have accounts, like I know League Fits has become pretty big and they'll do like awards at the end of the season. So mm-hmm. I think it's really cool like for athletes to show off their personal style before a game and just, you know, kind of show how they express themselves. So I really like it.
And I think what it has done is, I think for so long, and I'm guilty of this as well, is that we've kind of put ourselves in a box of, oh, these are the things that we do, and we just run with those things. But like you mentioned, league fits. And a lot of times we try to, like, we want opportunity in that box instead of, like, creating or even coming up with, hey, you know, what if we did X, Y, and Z? Like, it's been a breath of fresh air seeing more of those tunnel walks and outfits and how we intersect fashion, entertainment, and sport, because for so long we just focused on the sport part. But now you're seeing the athletes open new avenues with podcasts and shows and all this kind of stuff. We're, you know, intersecting, like I said, more fashion. So it kind of opens up way more of them being, you know, they talk about being more than an athlete, but it really gives us more insight to who these people are as individuals. Like, yes, they may be able to put a ball in the hoop or catch a touchdown or kick a goal or, you know, run fast times or whatever. But at the end of the day, they're human beings. Who are they as humans first? Are they good humans? Are they bad humans? Are they, you know, just people who don't, you know, like if you look at a person like KD, who's into a lot of stuff, but he wants to be just a regular guy, right? Like, hey, I'm just a dude. Like, I'm not a superstar role model kind of thing. And, you know, even those comments that he made, people ran with him and took him somewhere. But these people are more than just the athlete for 40 minutes or four quarters or however long they're playing, you know, their sport. So I think it widens the range of things to talk about.
I was going to say, I've also seen like how sports social teams will also use that moment to ask athletes questions, like when they're coming in for tunnel walks. And so you get to know the athlete a little bit more as well. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And it used to be like, hey, I'm locked in. Don't ask me anything. Like if you look back at old 90s clips of like Michael Jordan, or even when Kobe was an athlete, of like them walking in and they're like locked in, focused, don't talk to them. And it was just a broadcast camera, you know, showing those moments of nothing. Oh, look at Kobe. He's, you know, he's focused. But now it adds more fun to the experience. And some people may take that one way and was like, oh, well, that's why they're not as focused. That's why they can't do this or that. It's like, you can have fun pregame, postgame, in the game, and still, you know, go out there and give somebody, you know, the business. So I think as we continue to open our minds to what sports are now, sports have always been entertainment. I mean, from the beginning. But now we're getting a chance to actually get some of those behind the scenes. I'm not going to say BTS, but behind the scenes inside looks at like what it is to be that athlete in this sport. So I think it's great.
You know, you talked a little bit about testing out the camera that you had purchased that you weren't sure if it even worked and when you were on a vacation. So just hearing you talk about, you know, the entrance and the fashion and all that kind of stuff and capturing that for athletes, I'm wondering if or how you think about testing how you shoot or go about trying something new and what situations you try something new, because sometimes they don't translate. Like I would imagine, like maybe you start somewhere, but then you test it on some players that arrive early that probably aren't the superstars, so to speak. But I'd love to hear your thoughts and process on how you integrate something and how you test and try something.
Yeah. So I actually first want to start with, I didn't actually do this, but last year when I got to work college football playoff again, I got to return to the social team. And there were a couple of people who were doing like the arrivals, I think for like when they arrived to the stadium, not like when they got off the plane, but when they were arriving like to the stadium for the game. And so it was cool, like watching them brainstorm. So like I wasn't involved with this, but just like kind of witnessing their conversation where they were like, okay, like we're photographing these guys just coming into the football stadium, but like, how do we get creative with it? And so they had this idea of like basically using like slow shutter to capture these like creative like light trails and stuff while the athletes are walking in. And so it was cool because they went outside like our hotel and they just started like acting like they were the athletes walking in. And so they're just testing out what settings they should use like ahead of time for when they got to the stadium. So it was just kind of cool like watching them practice, and I got to like help them out a little bit like walking as well. But that was like a great example of like, I wouldn't have even like prior to that, I probably wouldn't have even thought to like let me grab somebody to like test out walking get so that I know like what settings to use when I want to get creative for the actual arrival shot. So it was just kind of cool like being a part of that brainstorm session and seeing them like practice ahead of time, and then the shots came out really good because they practiced ahead of time. So that was a great example, I think. And then I also, ahead of games, like sometimes I'll look at what other photographers are doing, or like I have like a folder saved on Instagram, like just, you know, I save stuff all the time, or like I'll bookmark things on Twitter for inspiration, and I'll go back and see like a technique that maybe somebody used and I wanted to try it out at a game or something. So I'll look through those for inspiration. So that helps me a lot. Like I also try to challenge myself with each game. I try to get a shot that I haven't gotten before. Sometimes when I'm working, you do get focused on the action because like ultimately you are there to like capture most of the action. But when there is some downtime, then I'll try to like get creative with it. Like maybe I'll try a different angle, or like I'll lower my shutter speed. Actually, when I worked the soccer game last week, I was practicing with slow shutter, and then somebody scored a goal. So my pictures didn't come out the best for that because I was like playing with slow shutter and I didn't realize they were about to score at the time. But it definitely is like a trial and error type thing. So I've had lots of misses for sure. Like sometimes I'll try out a new lens at a game, or I'll shoot from a spot that I haven't shot at before or shot from before. Or maybe I'll try, like I went to a WNBA game a couple weeks ago and I tried out multiple exposure like in camera for the first time. So there were lots of misses there, but I got one shot that I was really proud of. So lots of trial and error, but I think that's the only way that you can get better is like through practice. So.
I've seen some of your photos that you posted over the last couple weeks, and you've done a lot of like black and white photos. Talk about, have you always liked the look and feel of black and white, or is it something like you were just talking about testing a bunch of new things? Like there's nothing like a great monochrome black and white shot, like especially if it's a good moment. I think one of the photos was a photo of Dejounte Carrington. Of the wing. So kind of talk about that.
Yeah. I think I've always used black and white. For the longest time on my Instagram feed, I've been like alternating between color and black and white for my post. And it's something that some people have picked up on and then others will realize it later. But I'm not sure like when I started doing it, I think I just wanted to like be different with my Instagram feed. Like I know at one point I was doing like all black and white, and then it just kind of felt not boring, but like I didn't really like it. So then I started like kind of switching it up and alternating, like doing color one post and then black and white the next, just going back and forth with that. And then I actually learned, I took a couple photojournalism classes in my last semester at UT, and that's actually when I learned for the first time that it's not recommended to switch between black and white, or yeah, black and white and color so often. Like when you're showing a body of work, like I guess it's like preferred that you like keep it kind of one style, and not have like just like a random color picture and like a bunch of black and white. So that was my first time ever hearing of that. It's like when I like in my last year of college, but at that point I've been alternating for years now. And so I just kind of see it as like a personal style choice that I've made. I know that it kind of goes against, I guess, like the traditional rules of like photography and photojournalism, but I don't think you have to follow all the rules. So I think that's just been it's become a part of like my personal style. Like even on my portfolio, like if you look on my website, I have the different sports that I've covered. I have it alternating as well. I just love the look of it. I know it might be different to like some people. Like when I first heard that that was apparently a rule, it definitely shocked me, but I didn't want to change up my entire style because of some supposed rule. So it's just become a part of my identity. I have been leaning more into black and white lately, I think, but I've always been a fan of it. I love the mood of it, I think. So sometimes I'll see a photo and I just think it will hit different in black and white. And so I'll post it in black and white. And then I love to do, not every Monday, but I try to do every Monday. Like there's this hashtag that I did not come up with it. I don't know who did, but there's like this thing called Monochrome Monday. So I'll like post a couple black and white pictures on Mondays and just kind of do that. So it's like an ongoing, I guess, series I have, but I didn't come up with it. I didn't coin that term whatsoever, but it's just something I love to participate in. And I think it has become like a part of my style. So I love it.
Are you naturally shooting black and white for some of this, or are you doing it more so post?
No, I do it in post.
Yeah. Like I said, there's really nothing like seeing a good black and white photo, but it's also hard to kind of determine which ones to use in black and white versus like what will come off as a great color photo. Also, there are no more rules in any of this. Like we are definitely breaking rules left and right every day in photo and video content. So one thing we like to do on the show is we like to give back, right? So what is some advice that you would give to up and coming or aspiring photographers, whether they're, you know, in high school, middle school, I mean, they're starting real early these days, or in college who would like to, you know, follow a similar path. You may not think that your path is long. You're still kind of early in the career phase, but you've been, you know, photographing for quite some time. But what would be your advice to them?
I'm going to start with something that I got from somebody else. There was like this webinar I attended a while ago with like some NFL photographers. And so they were offering some advice. And one of them said, that like just be nice to people. And so to go off of that, I would say like your work will, or sorry, the way you treat people will get you further than your work ever will. So I feel like in sports, like it's definitely an industry where you have to check your ego at the door. Like you have to be teachable and you have to be open to trying new things. And, you know, take on challenges, so, you know, just being kind to people that you meet in like the workroom, like the media workrooms or like on the sidelines. Like, I've been referred like for opportunities because of like somebody remembered the way that I was like nice to them, or like, you know, just seeing my work ethic in person. And like they've worked with me before, so they were able to vouch for me and give me opportunities. So that's how I got involved with NWSL. Is like somebody referred me for that opportunity. And I didn't even know that they were doing that for me. And then it's also cool, like when I get to vouch for others as well, and then they like thank me for putting them on with something. Cause I love to share opportunities when I can. I'm really big on like posting opportunities that I see, cause I know how hard it is to get into this space. And like, I mean, I'm still kind of figuring things out, but I always want to give back, cause I know when I started out, I had a lot of questions and I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I didn't ask other people questions and they didn't take the time to respond to me. But I think ultimately just, you know, treating people nice is huge. It really does go a long way. So I think, you know, just forming genuine relationships with people and like just not getting ahead of yourself and like just checking your ego, I do think it goes a long way in this industry. And I think it shows that you're like really dedicated and you're not just doing it for like, I hate using the word clout, but like I guess just, you know, that's the difference between like a clout chaser and like somebody who like genuinely wants to be in the space and do good work. So I think just being a good person really does go far.
Yeah, that's why I haven't gone very far. I'm just kidding. As a freelancer, how do you find yourself kind of, I know you said that you've been, you know, referred by some folks, but how do you find yourself like getting new opportunities or pitching yourself for opportunities, whether that's, you know, an event that may be in the area you are, or, you know, being a Houston person going to Dallas or coming to Austin? How are those, how are you finding yourself getting those or pitching for those opportunities?
I think for those, it really has, a lot of it has come from just posting my work online and just kind of honestly like speaking things into existence and manifesting them. So I post my work often. I've been doing it a lot on Twitter lately. But it's actually kind of a funny story how I got involved shooting for the Dallas Wings. Because basically, last summer, I just kind of randomly tweeted like, I can't wait to photograph a WNBA game one day. And then I remember I like went to go hang out with some friends. So I wasn't on social media for a while. And then I came back and my phone was blowing up. And in the time span that I was offline, some people at the Dallas Wings saw it, including the Dallas Wings COO. And so she quoted my tweet and she was like, DM me, we would love to have you out at a game. And so I messaged her, we had a call. She invited me out to come photograph a game and she really loved my work. And that led to me coming back to photograph some games for like the rest of the season. So that surprised me because like, you know, a random tweet that I like just randomly decided to post led to me getting this dream opportunity to cover one of my favorite leagues and covering you know, these high profile athletes. But yeah, just really posting my work and, you know, just being my biggest advocate, I think has really helped me open doors. Like I think about when I got involved with Texas Athletics, like I think the year before I had tweeted, like I manifesting that I'll be like on the sidelines covering Burnt Orange next season. And then I was doing that, like doing that exact thing. So I love speaking things into existence. I love to journal and write down my goals that I have for myself. And it's always fun to look back on the things that I said I wanted to do and I've already accomplished so much. And I'm excited to see what else I continue to do. But I think ultimately just posting my work and then posting, I guess, like the ways to reach me. Like I have my email linked everywhere, my portfolio. Like I'll post on LinkedIn, like saying I'm open to opportunities and like just kind of showing a little bit of the work that I've done, like not just with sports, but other things as well. So I think just being my biggest advocate and like always posting my work and building my personal brand, I think that's helped me a lot with getting opportunities.
I remember that post and I remember like seeing it and then a couple weeks later, like you're at a Wings game. So there's a difference between how you did that and how some people do that. I will reserve that story for offline, but keep doing what you do and keep being great at what you do. Great person, great photographer, and an advocate for those who may not know how. Thank you for always speaking up and genuinely wanting everyone to win. So thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.